God, you made man in your own image, and Adam knew Eve, and Lord, they connected. They knew each other, they knew each other parts of their body. God, we thank you for our bodies. We thank you that we are sexual beings. We thank you that we are able to make love to the one that you have given us. Lord, as we touching the body parts that we are grateful for. And God, we thank you for the female breast. Thank you for the female vagina. That allow us to have pleasure. We thank you, God, for your urethra. We thank you, God, for the clitoris, that we can have sensation to satisfy the man you put into our lives. It is. when we make love, we thank you, Lord. When we make love to each other, we thank you, Lord. Just thank you for blessing our body parts, Jesus. Thank
you. Hi, good night, everyone, and welcome to Let's Talk Relationships.
Yes. This is DJ KTE.
And this is Lady Misty.
Lady Misty, how are we doing tonight?
Let's talk.
Relationships.
All right.
On UME Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business.
And love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty.
And DJ KTE.
On everything. From hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
Hey, how we doing? We're back. This is Let's Talk Relationships, and here with Lady Misty.
Yes,
and
sir.
This is DJ KTE.
That's right.
And we've been having a blast since this season started. It gets better and better and better. So how are we doing today, Lady Misty?
We are doing okay.
We're
doing okay. Yes.
Awesome. You're looking fantastic. Look at you, ready to have a show tonight.
Thank you. Likewise.
Yes.
So, likewise.
I came charged up tonight. We have a nice group tonight of individuals coming on our show.
Yes.
A great group of guests. And I can't wait to hear. I do say, let's get the party started.
Yes. And you know, we start off by saying thank you.
Yes.
And so tonight we want to say thank you to our sponsors. So first of all, we want to start off by saying thank you to UMEDigital.inc. I'm sorry, UMEDigitalInc.com. That's
there
where that
go.
Should be. That's right. Yeah. Mindfulness in Ministry Masterclass. Please go check them out. Also, MyCoachMinistry.com. Please go check out their courses there on Udemy. Also, we want to say thank you to accessbusinesstree.com. And Access Business Tree is an empowerment tool to help faith-based leaders build a business around their ministry. And last but by no means least, we want to say go to Shop and Own, guys. Go there. It's your personal online shopper and e-commerce store designer exclusively for sellers and buyers. And guess what? When you go there, please don't forget to use our discount code, and that is LTRSAVE. Discounts are there for you on exclusive products. We want to say a special good night to all the persons who are in the virtual room with us tonight. We have a large studio audience. So I want to say thank you for those who are in the Zoom room with us tonight. We want to say thank you also to those on YouTube. So our YouTube LTR family, good night to you. All
yes.
Those who are on the Apple and Google Play stores, good night. iTunes, iHeart, TuneIn, Google Podcasts, Podbean, TuneU, Live 365, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course, UME Radio. Good night, everybody, and thank you for keeping our company tonight.
Yes. And let me just say before we move ahead that, again, I want to remind our listeners that we are about vision. Yeah, we are here to impact 1 million lives.
That's
right.
Particularly
Black and brown folks, right? So some say we're back. No, we're really back to be back. So sometimes to go forward, we have to take a step back and move forward. But we're here to offer a great variety of network empowerment. Yes. You know, so folks, some of you out there, you have ideas, you need someone to help to be a support system, to help you engage in bringing out your God-given gifts. And that way you can fulfill your mandate before we leave this earth. All right. So that's why our guests are here, to bring their expertise and their experience. And hopefully that will inspire you and that will motivate you and that will enhance your life so we can be the best me for the best we.
That's right. The best me for the best we. I like that. All right. So we are moving. We are charting ahead and we're going straight into hot, hot, hot topics.
Oh, hot. Oh, hot.
Very hot, smoking hot. And tonight we're going to just do a little chat about Black power. Mm-hmm. All right, Black power rising. So let's jump right in. So we're going to be talking tonight about Dr. Umar Johnson. He is a doctor of clinical psychology, an activist, leader, and a professor. And he appeared on the Nick Cannon podcast, mm-hmm. Cannon's Class. Here he shared his vision to establish a school for Black boys. He has reportedly purchased 4 buildings and is currently having works done on the buildings. Now, how does this move help the Black community? So that's one topic we want to be talking about tonight. And we also have another Black man, another Black king, who is going to be doing some things for us. It says here, Dr. Umar is currently working on building his new school, the Frederick Douglass and Marcus RBG International Leadership Academy for Boys. This is just an extension of what we're talking about. America's first residential academy for Black boys, founded upon the principles of Pan-Africanism and international economics. In the future, Dr. Umar also would like to extend this school to include female students in their own residential school. So, go Black King. I am for it. Then here comes another Black King, Akon. Yeah, he ain't locked up this time. No, no, no. He's going to be
I'm
freeing
locked
some
up.
People.
Won't let me
no,
out.
No, he's out there. He's way out there. Yes. Yes. Akon, whose real name is Alione, I hope I pronounced that right, Alione Badarathaim, first announced planned for the 2,000-acre city back in 2018, then dubbed Akon Crypto City after a cryptocurrency he planned to launch. Now, this Black home in the US treats them unfairly in so many different ways that you can never imagine. He continues to say, and I quote, and they only go through it because they feel that there is no other way. If you're coming from America or Europe or somewhere else in the diaspora and you feel that you want to visit Africa, we want Senegal to be your first stop.
All right now.
Interesting stuff. It says rapper Akon signs a deal to create his own city in Senegal named Akon City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big stuff,
interesting,
huh?
Big stuff. Yes, yes.
Black empowerment.
Yes. And so we continue with the contract with Black America. And this contract with Black America was designed to start the hard conversations. It was made to be perfected and debated. So please add comments and suggestions so we can create a better contract with America that will help create a better and more perfect union. And that is from
Ice Cube.
Yeah, O'Shea Jackson. Mm-hmm. And he is for the Black contract.
Reparations, huh?
Yes, we know that America is on the brink of an election right now. And so a contract of this nature and what it represents is of great importance. And we want to say,
coming soon this week. I'm excited about that.
Coming soon this week. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, on the hot topics, I want to say I really, really, really applaud all these Black men.
Yes.
For stepping up to the plate and for making their voices heard. I'm particularly intrigued with Dr. Umar's plan to build a school for boys. And I know education and boys don't really go in the same sentence.
But let me miss the question here, right? Why is it that when Black men seem to want to empower other Black men and boys, it becomes so controversial? Why is that so? I mean, it's one thing that we have the Blacks by themselves having an issue among themselves, but there seems to be a overall, issue when a Black trying to empower Blacks, especially here in America. And that bothers me, really bothers me a lot, you know? But that's something that we want to talk about and as well. So it is really
I think over the years we have been boxed into this way of thinking. And we have been conditioned in this thinking where we can't think outside the box where empowerment is concerned. And we tend to fight each other when there's power involved. Yeah. I think we look at empowerment in a wrong way.
The wrong way.
Yes. We look at it for grabbing of power and wanting to be seen and all of that. And we are not seeing it as empowerment, helping another man up, helping another brother strive. And I think we have been conditioned to think that way so that we don't progress.
I've been watching Dr. Umar. I saw a lot of his videos. Yes. And he's gone to a lot of support. I mean, good and bad. And I think that, you know, I made a comment some time ago, and I said I saw another gentleman was actually commenting on Dr. Umar, but it was very much on the negative part of what he thought he was and was not. And the person asked me and said, "What is this person doing?" So he's wanting to criticize someone, but what are you doing to actually help the struggle? And that really hit home to me that, you know what? We have to watch out for those people who are going to nitpick at other people what they're not doing or maybe the negative side of things.
Yes.
And not see the actual work and effort that's been going into the struggle. So, hey, you know.
You know, interestingly enough, when I was listening to the clips relating to all of these topics tonight, something kind of just dropped in my spirit, in my mind. And I was thinking to myself, so we have Dr. Umar and we have Ice Cube, and I know they have been greeted with some level of backlash because of their own truth, what they're speaking, how they want to see the Black community rise above what it is now. And Akon, being a Black man himself, you really don't hear much fight.
I think I know why.
Because it's not in the country.
Yeah, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Once you're not here, yeah, yeah.
So, mm-hmm. so I think that that's something to take note of. Is it because he's not here? Why that's happening?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it something else?
For those who don't know, you know, there was a Black Wall Street, you know, many years ago that was literally wow. burned down and torn down. So, you know, mm-hmm. as Dr. Umar was saying, is that we know that we take a lot of the blame as Black people, as Black men. And he talked about even in his dialogue about how the Black man needs to take responsibility for her Black women and really start loving on her and really start understanding what he needs to do to bring her up.
Yes.
But he still, and he talked about the fact that a lot of systems that were created, they were in yes. place already, but we still got to find a way right. to get around those things, yes. you know, by understanding who we are and create economic wealth and economic empowerment. And like I said, a big part of what we are trying to do here at UMI Radio, UMI Digital, is to empower individuals here and abroad. But as you mentioned about Akon and you mentioned about Dr. Umar and Ice Cube, you're looking at when you're in America, it seems, it's like mm-hmm. it's like a really strong effort in not allowing to be empowered. You know, mm. it's like everything to keep you back. Once she's away, far away, we can have, that's not here. And I think that someone said that if you empower the Black from worldwide, like the Chinese, although mm-hmm. they're there, when the Chinese are here, they have the effect of the Chinese. The Indians, when they're here, the Koreans, when the people are here, they feel the effect of it, even though the folks are not in Korean. They're here. But the Blacks who are here, we're so divided that we should be able to call in Africa and other Black areas, and it should be as if we are still one. And that's where we fall short, that disconnect, where we have no base, we have no worldwide support to say, listen, that's my Black folk there, my Black brother, my Black sister, we got to take care of them, we got to look out for them. So that's what we need to get the connection going as a Black yeah. people.
All right. Just by way of announcement, guys, I want to say tune into UMI Radio this coming Saturday for Weekends with Marsha J and Jesse.
Oh, yeah. J&J. This is going to be, oh, my, I'm excited yes. about this right here. This is going to be a really great show, man.
Yes,
I would be enjoying this one here.
If you have the time, yeah, wake up early. We're all on this. We are both on the same time too now. So
No excuse.
So 8 a.m., grab your coffee and tune in to Weekends with Marsha J and Jesse.
Oh, yeah.
Q Celebration.
Yeah. We're going to have a celebration.
Hi, this is Dale Brown from Dale Brown and Truth, and you're listening to UMI Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Let's give God some praise this evening.
Q Celebration.
Yeah. We're going to have a celebration.
Hi, this is Dale Brown from Dale Brown and Truth, and you're listening to UMI Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7.
Yes, we're back. All right. We are back, y'all. And we're going to be hearing from a guest real soon. And this is going to be, a great segment. I think it's a segue from what we had last week. And just like a part two, if you want to call it that. And we're just going to expound a little more on what we started last week. And hopefully those of you who were there, you'll definitely get a treat again. And for those who are new, you can always go back and look at that video or that podcast and get some nuggets as well.
That's right. So last week we were looking at dealing with sexual tension while being married or in the confines of marriage. And this week we're going to be talking about coping or dealing with sexual tension while unmarried. But before we get into introducing our guests, we're going to go to a clip. Listen up.
We've gotten closer as I've gone through life experiences. Not only my sex drive, but the things that impact my sex drive has drastically changed. And that's what happens with a lot of women. I've been in that boat of men who have had somewhat of a cultivated ignorance based on our sexual experience before marriage. This is one of the drawbacks to having sex before marriage, by the way. Not even being religious. This is strictly practical because we set the tone for relationship sex with the kind of sex we was having whenever we were single, which was meaningless sex. Meaningless being just strictly physical, just a release. I'm horny, you horny, I'm attracted to you. So boom, we about to get it on. You know, in your singleness as men, we can have meaningless sex for our entire life, no matter what our relationship status is, and we're fulfilled. However, women are different. Women can start off having meaningless sex after a couple of drinks or a couple of dances or a couple of weeks of dating, conversation, and that's cool. But then whenever they get close to you, there are different things that impact them, like the security that they feel, the safety that they feel, life experiences, of course, you know, how trustworthy you are, how affirming you are. Not saying things like, you know, you basically pressured me to marry you. Those types of things matter. So a woman needs, in a serious relationship, she needs about 90% of meaningful sex, which is more like an exclamation mark to all of her emotional needs already being met, instead of the entire communication of sexual desire and passion. Like, this is more of an exclamation mark, icing on the cake after the fact. And by the way, it's much better than meaningless sex, fellas out there. But a lot of women need that more in a real relationship, and sometimes they don't have the correct words to articulate it or something like that. And this is where I feel like this is a solution right here. This is why I feel like guys would really benefit from listening to understand instead of just listening to debate, listening to ridicule and play little jokes because you're pissed off that, you know what, she was cool with one type of sex in the dating phase, and I've only had one type of sex my whole life, but here she is with different needs and evolution of her needs and things that are affecting her outside of us that affect her sex drive and her ability to give me her. First off, you got to get rid of your entitlement, man. You got to get rid of your entitlement and understand.
Wow. I'm just
brother was going in. Brother was going in there.
Wheels. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Before I go into introducing the guests, though, just remember, if you want to share your comments or you want to ask your questions, remember those on YouTube, those in the Zoom tonight, you are free to ask your questions. We'll get to them as quickly as we can. Also, please don't forget to text us, WhatsApp us at 201-503-6731. That's 201-503-6731. So let me go straight into tonight's guest. Now, the guests tonight are practically family. All right. We can call them family now.
Yes.
Yes.
Our new brothers and sisters in the house.
Our new brothers and sisters in the house.
That's it.
And first up, we have Dr. Ramesia McGee. She's an educator and philanthropist. We have Reverend Dr. Carla Dunbar, marriage, family, and sex therapist, minister, marriage officer, JP, author, speaker, and creator of the Grow Your Marriage Academy. We also have in the room back with us this week, Reverend Wayne Vernon. And Reverend Vernon is a pastor and lecturer at West Toronto Church of God. And you can visit anything concerning his church on YouTube, on Facebook, iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn for worship services and noonday meditation. meditation.
Sounds fantastic. Yes. All right.
Good night, everyone. How are we doing tonight?
Doing great.
Awesome, awesome. Glad to have you back. I tell you, I'm getting ready for
doing
an exciting time.
Uh-huh. Awesome, awesome.
Oh, yes.
Yes, because last night you really got the space and fire, man. You turned up last week. You really had us going,
yes,
man. You
did.
I tell you, you were like a flowing river, just flowing down the hill.
Yeah, well, we expect to have a great time this evening again.
Awesome. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, Dr. McGee in the house. I believe I see her. Make sure my chat open.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Hey, here we go.
Hi. Wow. Ooh, I love your hair. Oh, my God. Good night. Yes.
And also what's on your hair, too. Love that as well.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I got to get myself together. This is part of my self-care plan.
Oh, that's it. No, I like that. I like that. If you don't do it, we'll do it for you, right? And we have
Dr. Carla Dunbar.
Dunbar in the house.
Hi, good night. How are you guys?
Yes, awesome.
Good night, Dr.
Good
Dunbar.
To see you.
How are you? Mm-hmm. Nice to have you again.
So last week we had this topic here, and we started and we talked about the issue of sexual tension. And, you know, we're sexual beings. And, you know, I tell you, the pastor really was very, very right on with a lot of what he was saying. And he really brought a lot of experience in here. But this week, Pastor, I want to kind of pick it up from where we had last week, because last week the context was more from marriage context. Now we're looking at more of a single context, and I'm sure all of us who are married or maybe dating now were once single, and I'm sure there were different tension. So just give us shed some light on that from last week, being a married first person to a single person. Maybe you can use some of your own experience, life experience as well, and bring us into this segment here.
All right. Good evening, everyone. It's good to see all of you, but it is good to see Dr. Carla Dunbar again. After quite a number of
years.
Maybe.
So many years, right?
Oh, okay. Good meet.
Yeah. Yes. But it's a delight to be with you again and to talk on this very important topic, and to be able to not just talk with each other, but to be able to, by the grace of God, pour into other people's lives. You know, Christians have got to be pragmatic. We can't just be up in the sky all the time. We want to be pragmatic, because living out the Christian life is not the easiest of things. However, if we're not educated, and when I talk about educated, I'm talking about educated in the Word of God and understand what our Father wants for us, then it makes our life that more complicated. So this evening, let's talk about singleness and singles. When we talk about single and singleness, a lot of times we use a very broad brush to paint it. And our generalization will always create problems for us. So whenever I talk about singles, I remind persons that the group called singles is a very large group in the in the church, for example. There are persons who are single who are never married or not yet married. Mm-hmm. There are those who are single because they are separated or divorced or widowed or something like that. There are persons who are single with kids, single without kids. Mm-hmm. There are persons who are single and had a previous active sex life. And there are others who are single but are virgins in the church. And that goes for both male and female. So it is a broad group of people in our church that we call single, and we just speak of them as single without recognizing that there are a lot of different nuances to this group that we call single. So as we talk tonight, we're going to be talking about this very large group of people in the church and the challenges that they do have as we serve together in the body of Christ and try to live out our Christian commitment in the context of the church, but in the context of a single life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would want us to, you know, in my mind, I want us to make sure we consider the broad perspective together.
All right.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
I want to ask a question. So, Dr. Dunbar, you are a sex therapist, so you have quite a bit of knowledge and experience dealing with this broad group that Reverend Vernon just spoke about. Is the dynamic of sexual tension, does it vary from person to person, group to group, virgins versus singles versus divorcees versus all of that? Does it vary, or is just tension, is just pent up tension?
that in itself is a dynamic, because that, even though we're all human beings and we are created with our God-given sexuality and desires and urges, and like David declares in Psalm 139:13-14, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and the work of the Lord in us is marvelous. So that kind of gives us a sexual theology to understand that God is the one who created us with the desires and the erogenous zones, the areas that are considered to be problematic on our body, the areas that gives us the rises for the desires, etc. All of us have those basic drives, urges, the desires, right? However, I think depending on one's maturity, and let me not use chronological age, because chronological age doesn't always speak to maturity.
Right.
Right. It depends on a person's level of maturity and what they are focused on. They will experience more challenges than others, right? Mm-hmm. So that really depends on the level of maturity. But all of us are created with the basic drives, the basic yearnings, the basic desires, you know, the erogenous zones. So we ought to. One of my very good colleague, Reverend Dr. Clinton Chisholm, he made a quote that I utilize most times, that I refer to. He says, if you have never had a strong desire for sex, you're either too young, too old, mentally ill, or too lie.
And I concur. I love that. Yes.
Right? And I concur, because all of us from time to time have those urges and desires, to the extent to which the desires bothers us, you know, is to the extent to which sometimes our level of maturity and being able to treat with and deal with and what we are focusing on.
Right.
And all of the groups that Wayne just mentioned just now, all of the singles group, I found it was so ironic. I'm happy that you're focusing on singles. Actually, when I opened the door of the gym last week, was the first course, which is now ongoing, is the MRI, which is a marriage readiness intelligence course. And persons are asking me, so why you open a Grow Your Marriage Academy and you're not teaching married persons first? I'm like, because, you know, there are many persons who are going to make some similar mistakes as those persons who are already married. So let me start with them first, so that they don't become a statistic. You understand? Because that's what I'm trying to do, to help them not to become a statistic, a single person who don't yet know if they want to be married. They are not informed properly, you know, about the rigors of marriage, etc. And they should know. They should get the opportunity to make an informed decision about marriage and not just be pressured by the church into marriage, because they seem like they are mature and they are adult. So they are that's the first cohort of students I have in the gym now. And I'm actually sitting here just about to start, while I was waiting on you to come on, because I came off the platform. at exactly 9 o'clock. And while I was waiting, I'm here preparing my lesson to teach tomorrow evening, on Wednesday evening after the next class.
Right.
Yes. I went through some idea, and I like Dr. Dunbar and Dr. McGee to address this, because at one point, a few years ago, I wasn't as keen or as sensitive about this issue. When I would hear females who were in their 30s, 40s, and even 50s say, I'll be watching the TV, and when the love scene comes up, they turn away. Now, they were once probably married, or maybe have dated, and they now are saved and trying to serve the Lord. And they would say, I'm watching the movie, but I want to read certain books, like the one I used to read when I was younger. Or like I said, when they watch the scene, when the love scene comes in, they turn away. So what's going on there with those ladies in their 30s, 40s, 50s, trying to not, I guess, to not let that tension build or that area open up? I'd like you to address those that question, Dr. McGee and Dr. Dunbar.
I am in my early 30s, so I'm not exactly sure. I don't know why those women would feel the need to turn away. But I am now divorced, right? But I was married for 10 years and together for 13. So that was more than half of my young 30 life. But mm-hmm. I don't understand why they will feel the need to turn away. I think Dr. Carla said it about being mature, right? And understanding that you are a human. You do, the flesh is weak, and I'm not saying you need to give into it, but I think if you're going to a movie and they're showing a love scene, I think you should be okay to watch it. But sometimes a lot of that may come from sexual trauma too, which is not often always talked about. And so for them, maybe their sexual experiences have not been pleasant. Maybe their sexual situations have been traumatic. They have been unpleasant. They have been, not good partners with the person. It could be a mix of things. So that's maybe why they maybe feel that they are turned off. Or a lot of it could be that their heart is so broken and they're not healed yet. A lot of times when you are with someone married in a committed relationship, and you are being intimate with that person, and that intimacy has stopped on all levels, and your heart is still attached to that, then maybe it's hard to watch. It's hard
interesting.
To take in. It's hard to digest. Because we have to remember that everything that we're consuming, we're not only consuming it on a face value level, we're consuming it on a spiritual level, we're consuming it on an emotional level, we're consuming it on a psychological level. And so anytime that you're consuming anything, it has to be processed and digested appropriately. And maybe for their own safety, this is not something that they're willing to do, and they were not prepared for that. But that doesn't,
right.
And I think that's just not only for women. I think that can also be for men too, you know.
Because women
are much more vocal about it, because it's acceptable to women, but men maybe not so much.
Because I never heard a man say turn away, but I definitely hear what you're saying, Doctor. Dr. Dunbar, you want to address that as well?
I believe that a lot of the times, and not just these women, but let me just say church in inverted commas, we were not educated. There's a Puritan view of sex. We have treated sex with a kind of Augustinian approach. It's a necessary evil. You have the urge, you have the desire, but it's not really a good thing. And so because we have not been taught, we are kind of uncomfortable. The church has been, the church is now growing into it, but we were very silent on the matter of sex or reproduction, sexual intercourse. So we weren't sure, a lot of persons were not sure what is the place of sex. Can sex and the church coexist? Can sex and Jesus Christ coexist? They are very uncomfortable. And because of the discomfort, I remember when I came to national attention in Jamaica in 2004, and I've been going across the island speaking. And I remember speaking in a particular church in Spanish Town, Jamaica, one evening, while I was completing a 6 week for them. And an elderly lady, she said that she was 72 years old at the time. She said she had been in the church longer than she had been married, and she had been married for over 42 years.
Wow.
She never, she had never heard the word sex being spoken about from the pulpit of the church. She asked permission of me after I'd finished my presentation, and I asked permission of the presiding bishop of the church if he would allow her to speak. And that is what she took the mic and said. She said, because she never heard the word sex. She doesn't read very well. She said in her own language, she said, I can count from Genesis to Revelation. And she said, because she had never heard it, being married, she is just now learning that having sex with her husband was okay. She did not know. No, that level of sexual ignorance, 42 years, that level of sexual ignorance existing in the church, who we have been given the knowledge to teach. And she said her husband was now dead. She was crying as she was talking because she was saying, I can no longer fix that because my husband is now dead. But she did say she's going home to her neighbor, who they say they share the same perspectives. They have the same understanding. And so she's going home to see if peradventure she could tell her neighbor so that, because she said her neighbor, similar to her, their husband had to hold a machete over them if they're supposed to have sex, especially if it was to be on a Sunday morning before they go to church. She said this very openly, said it was not a secret. So when I was writing my book, Sexcription, I called her and I asked her if I could quote her in my book, and she gave me the okay. So it's actually, I actually use that in my book to speak to sexual ignorance. So a lot of persons are sexually ignorant in the church, and the age group you use would be of that era of persons who are growing up with a lack of understanding. Hosea said, my people, Hosea, God said to Hosea, my people suffer because of lack of knowledge. So because they are not, they are unsure how to feel about sex. They're unsure if, is it okay for me to watch these people making love and then having stirrings in my loins, knowing that I perhaps don't have anybody to act it out with. Is it okay? So they're unsure. They don't understand that they can have a healthy perspective of sex. So that, I believe, is where the problem comes from, sexual ignorance.
And I also think that, I mean, we talked, but how about those people who have not been in church? How about those people who have not had conversations in church, you know, who are not in a sense saved or know Jesus, right? Again, that all those, that comes into play too. We can't forget those people, because those people may have never encountered God, may have never thought about anything outside of whatever they have been introduced
to. But they also have never had but they also have never been educated along the lines of having a formal understanding. It's what they have thought. It's what they have heard somebody say. And you said something earlier.
I think you said something earlier pertaining to...
Go ahead.
I think the church is a different aspect, and I think it has its own situations. But I think those people who have been educated, right, outside the church, who have been educated in their families, who've been educated in their schools, who've been educated, quote unquote, through their friends, those are different conversations. Those conversations are not always, those conversations are not normally spoken about in the church. And then we also have to remember in other countries, and the way people have brought up, they have, you know, fixed marriages, fixed sexual relationships, forced sexual relationships, things that we will deem ungodly or unholy, things of like that are going on. So I think that, again, that whole sexual trauma sometimes is a hard time for people. And the church
And that is why I was about to refer to your conversation, because I have a program that deals with victims of sexual abuse called Conquerors. And I was also going to concur with you to say that there are persons who have been traumatized. There are persons who have had bad sexual experience, and it has marred their understanding, you know, and their perception of sex as well. And so it makes them uncomfortable to be able to view other persons in normal sexual relations enjoying sex.
And that is so true. And I think also, we think about sex, you know, sometimes we cut out the word intimacy. You know, intimacy is not always intercourse, right? There's a difference in that respect, and what we see is that, and what we feel is that. some people, I am not a fan of PDA. I just think that it's ridiculous. I think, I don't mind maybe holding hands or a little peck, but I've seen people like tonguing it down outside. Mm. And I'm like, you're wrong. Like, I know you love him. He love you, boo. I get that. In my head. But I am not a PDA person. I don't mind a little hold a hand, a little peck. But I think doing all the extra for me, I'm like, I'm uncomfortable. Because I think some things should just be behind closed doors. But I also know that that's kind of the way I was raised, too. Yeah. That's my upbringing, my parents, you know what I mean? But my mother was PDA all the time. I think, and my dad was fine with that. Maybe that's why I'm grossed out by it, because I saw my parents do.
I have a question I want to throw out there, and I want Pastor Vernon to address this too. I think it's a very interesting question. Now, you know, as this show, you know, we do come from a Christian perspective. You know, it's not really saying you can't think what you think outside of church or whatever it is, but we come from a certain perspective that we want to share as well, that we feel may be the healthiest, the best, and hopefully can affect your life in a positive way. However, Pastor, you know, I grew up in church, and I always hear that we can sin in our thoughts. We can sin. We can murder our brothers by our words or mouth. And so, a lot of what we can do, as far as sin, it can be in an inner mental thing, all right, in our heart, so to speak. So, we know that marriage is supposed to be the place where the sex is supposed to be secured and it's supposed to be holy. And it's supposed to be matrimonial, and it's supposed to be the right thing to do. And it's now not a sin anymore. However, if you're getting married, Pastor, and you're dating or maybe engaged, and your thoughts are on this lady or the ladies on this man, and you think about, boom, that day's gonna come. Honeymoon time. I'm gonna throw down hard, and you're thinking about the different moves and all the styles and whatever you're thinking about sexually. Is that considered a sin? Now, you're with this person, you're not married yet. There's no commitment for life, and the ring hasn't been given yet. Are those thoughts okay, Pastor, or how would you feel about those things?
So, just before I got married, I got into major trouble. Uh-oh. With my fiance, because I expressed to her that I've been thinking about being with you, spending time with you, being intimate, being romantic with you, etc., etc.
That caused tension.
However,
talk to us, Pastor.
I am willing to wait, and I am going to wait until we get married to be able to express all that I have been thinking about. And so she reported me to the counselor.
Oh, nice.
To say that this is what I said. The counselor said to her, well, girl, if I were you, I would be happy, because he said he is willing to wait and he's going to wait. All right. So here it is. I'm thinking that as we prepare to get married, I'm not sure how we would be able not to think about the individual that we're going to get married to. However, the challenge would be if we are obsessed with not the individual so much, but mm-hmm. about having sex with this individual.
Right.
Are there not other things that we can think about this individual? After all, she's not just one big vagina. She's more than a vagina. She's more than a sex partner. There are other things to be thought through. So the obsession would be, and the preoccupation would be something that I would be concerned about, you know, depending on, given the circumstance. But, you know, we want to think about that person and prepare our mind and prepare ourselves, not just in our thoughts, but in reading and in premarital counseling and stuff like that. So I think that the mind has got to be prepared for this experience. And I don't know that we can avoid thinking intimately or romantically. But again, okay. I'm saying preoccupation, obsession, those are things I would be concerned about. And if it spills over into, you know, masturbation and, you know, telephone sex or, you know, those kinds of things, that's where I would become concerned.
All right, Rev, I have a couple of questions here. I want to go into the viewers' questions right now and see how well we can address them. So first question. So I'm single and at home doing my normal routine, and my body starts feeling horny. I shower, I read my Bible, I watch a movie, still horny. I don't feel comfortable masturbating. What do I do?
And you said you're asking me?
I'm asking all three of you. So anyone wants to grab at it?
Yeah, I hesitated because I wasn't sure. I'm sorry.
Yes, so the viewers' questions are targeted at all three of you.
Okay.
So you may gladly jump ahead. All right. I have a few more, but that's the first one.
Okay. You know, sexual desires are human, and after a certain age of the human lifespan, we do have sexual urges. And it doesn't matter whether you're married or you're not married, you do have sexual urges. The thing with the married persons is that we have an outlet where that is concerned. Someone who is struggling in this regard, in my mind, I think that person does need a conversation with someone who is able to help them. Maybe a sit down with the sex therapist, you know, would be very helpful, because of the inordinate struggle that person has, not just with the urges, but also a struggle with masturbation, because that there are two things that came up. So it, you know, a conversation with a sex therapist or a counselor to help to give some perspectives on how one could approach those intense moments of desires when it feels almost impossible, difficult to walk away, because the usual stuff doesn't work. The cold shower doesn't work. admittedly, there are persons who I have counseled with through things like these who have said to me, a shower probably for them sometimes is probably more of a trigger than a deterrent, you know. It would seem to me that, you know, this doesn't need a band-aid. It really needs a conversation. I say maybe the therapists, the two therapists who are here, may be able to have that conversation and walk a person through how they could approach the situation.
Okay. Dr. Dunbar, I have a question for you. This question was directed for you. And this is from a woman, I would suspect. I get myself a dildo and I use it, but I feel guilty all the time. And it makes me feel like it's because I'm not lovable. Why I use a dildo?
That person is a person marrying, by the way, because using a dildo for me, from my perspective as a Christian, is something that is a toy that I believe my couple should share. I know single persons do it, but that doesn't make it right. Right? And so I don't know what background is she coming from that would take psychoanalysis for me in terms of understanding what background to her is coming from, if she's married, if she's not married. Because I have married persons who come to me who purchase toys, who use toys with between themselves consensually, between themselves, not, you know, individually to please themselves, that kind of thing. So I would need to know that, because if she's single, if she's not a Christian, if she's just listening and this is something that she's doing and she feels guilty about it, then something is informing her conscience that what she's doing is wrong. So I would need to know what that is.
Okay. Here's another one. As a single dad, I found it so difficult to deal with sexual tensions. I bought my teenage daughter a dildo because I think she may be going through this too.
Wow.
Well,
he's trying to be a helpful dad, huh? Wow.
I'm a trying to be helpful.
That's McGee, go ahead.
What did you say, Dr. McGee?
I'm going to defer to Dr. Dunbar, because I don't have children, child. I had to beg my younger brother a pocket designer. Right. Like, I can't. So I'm going to go.
Like the host says, he's trying to be helpful, but I really think that he's really off court here, because we're supposed to teach our children about healthy sexuality. Mm-hmm. We are supposed to teach them about understanding themselves, their anatomy. I mean, the school does it, but the home is the first agent of socialization. And so we ought to teach them healthy sexuality so they have a healthy concept and understanding of self, age appropriately, right? We're supposed to teach them, but not to give them a dildo, because personally, I don't encourage sex outside of marriage. That's not my position. Sex must be done within the context of marriage only, right? So I would not encourage young persons to masturbate. I do not encourage them to use any form of toys or tools, because that would be being double standard about my teachings, my belief systems, right? And I am guided by the word of God. And so I cannot be double standard. So I think sir, you need to teach your daughter a healthy perspective of sex, healthy concept of self, help her to understand that her desires are natural, they're normal. If you can't do it, get her to a counselor so that she can be taught how to appreciate herself, right? And to understand that her sexual drives and urges are normal, but that she cannot act upon every urge and desires that she has, right? Rather than giving her a toy to say, go play with it. It's not a doll.
So in other words, him trying to be helpful is not the way to go. Or many people trying to be helpful, and many people I've known from.
But then too, you said a teenager, and I'm not sure where you are as a teenager, because a teenager starts at 13, ends at 18, 19. I'm not sure where you are there, and I know that even in Jamaica here, the government has given 16-year-olds permission to be able to have sex. I differ with them and I disagree with them, because if at 16, tomorrow is an election in your country, and I'm sure that none of the 16-year-olds can vote. So I think if you are not at the age to choose who governs your country, if you can't at 16 make those kind of decisions, then you are not at 16 and those ages ready to make a decision where sex is concerned. You understand? Because sex comes with a lot of challenges. I am not concerned so much about sexually transmitted diseases. I am more concerned with sexually transmitted anxiety and depression and all of those things.
Yes, yes.
Those things are transmitted sexually too. You understand?
Right.
So I think we really need a healthy perspective of sex.
Yes.
Yes, Wayne.
And if I might say, Carla, that it is also dangerous for the for the teenager, a girl who is comfortable and is accustomed to satisfying herself, who knows where all her buttons are,
exactly.
Which man is going to be able to please her?
Yes.
That's my point.
Because he knows where all her buttons are, you know.
Exactly, which is why I do not facilitate. I was just last week, I saw them showing an archive back in Jamaica of me on Religious Hard Talk from about 2005 with Ian Boyen and Dr. Sidney McGill.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
We were disagreeing because he was saying he allows, he uses masturbation to teach teenagers and single persons about themselves. And I'm like, why do I need to use masturbation to teach them that? Mm-hmm. I don't need to teach them. I don't need to use that. And so we disagreed because I believe that masturbation opens the way in the door for a lot of things. And just like James said just now, if you are able to please yourself, when you do get in a relationship, your partner will not be able to please you. And that you'll be robbing your partner at that time of bringing you real sexual joy and pleasure. That's not God's intention. So I would not go the way of a fool. That is the way of being unwise. And so, Daddy, I think you should, and if you don't know what to do, which is clear, you don't know what to do, I believe that you should get help from somebody who knows what to do. Myself, as a counselor, I have international clients, right? I do counseling with persons online, overseas, in different parts of the world. Or you have a counselor here, Mrs. McGee, right?
Yes.
Ms. McGee, right?
I'm not a counselor in that respect. My
degree you're not a counselor. Okay. Well, that's my area.
No. My degree is in education. Nonetheless,
okay.
Nonetheless, I agree with all of that. I second all of that. I also want to say that maybe he is uncomfortable because he is a male and he does not know how to approach his female.
That's my point. That's why I'm saying he needs to get a counselor.
He needs to get an auntie. He needs to get a somebody.
You
know, somebody. A woman in front of her. A woman who is experienced and maybe both pleasuring herself and not and married and whatever. He needs to get those women in front of her because you know, sometimes it is uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable for men to talk to their daughters about things like that. I remember when I was getting married and my dad gave me these five things about staying married. And when I tell you, he started talking about sex and I was like, listen, I am totally uncomfortable with this. And my dad told me, he said, listen, I know you're uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable too, but I want you to stay married for a long time. And I'm telling you from a male perspective. But I was grown, you know, I was 23 and my mother and father were both there, but I had never talked to my dad about sex prior to that. Not ever, you know, but my mother set me down a long time ago and told me, you know, if you are feeling a certain way, this is what you need to do. If this happens, this is what you need to do. So when I decided to say, you know what, I want to go there with a young man, I was 20 years old, 19, 20, something like that. I called my mother and I had a conversation with my mother. And my mother was very comfortable. And the first thing she said was, well, I thought you was going to wait till marriage. I said, well, I kind of really like him. And he might be the one, you know, kind of thing. And when I get home, I need you to take me to get birth control. And my mother was like, I got you. What else you need? So sometimes, you know, and she never, it was, I've never heard of someone saying, let me get you a sex toy in your teenage years. I think.
Yeah, that's very different. Oh, boy.
That's liberation to the highest degree.
That's very counterproductive.
I would not advocate that for any child because she's still a child. And with that, like you said, you open up all kinds of spiritual doors with that self-pleasuring thing too. Again, we are thinking about the things that we consume. There's a spirit in every realm, in the music that we listen to, the people we are around, the things that we do to ourselves. And for her, for him to bring that in front of her, a fake penis, that's just not, that is so counterproductive. And I don't want him to think that we're bashing him, but we just want to let you know that that is not necessarily the way you want to go. And it may be uncomfortable for you, but perhaps, sir, you, again, I concur with Dr. Carla, you know, and the pastor that you need to get some counselors in front of her. But even starting with the women in your family, getting a woman in front of her.
Yeah.
So these conversations that a woman can have with a young girl that a man may not ever be able to
understand. So true.
All right. I have a few more questions. I'm just going to be reading them because we're strapped for time. So let's see how well we can answer them. Let's go. All right. So here's one. what do I, and we're still talking about child here, what do I do with a child, and it's a son, if he's telling me he is feeling horny too early? Can kids have sexual tensions? And here's another question. I am single and a virgin, and I turn to masturbation when I feel stressed. Nothing works. Help. And there's another question that says, can two church members become friends with benefits until their husband or wife comes?
Oh, this is seven liberation here, huh?
They know that's a, now they know good well they can't be no friends with benefits. You say you want to do the person, and the person just happen to go to your church. Keep it real with yourself. Don't be bringing the church up in that. Don't be doing that. Just say you want to take that person down because you're giving into flesh. We have all felt victim to it. But don't say, can you become big? Because you know that you can't. You know that that's wrong. You know that's inappropriate. Right. You know that's not proper. If you want to just be with the person sexually, then just say, I'm feeling the person and I want to be with them sexually. Don't be bringing the church in there.
There was a song. There was a song some years ago that said, until I get used to losing you, let me keep on using you. Until
yes, Dwayne, I know the song.
After this guy uses this girl and sexes her out to nothing, he moves on to find, to me, what needs to happen is that he needs to find a woman, pray to God and find a woman, and allow this woman to find a man. Because he keeps using her until she is sexed out. And then he moves on to the next virgin that he can find. And this, a man can find a woman easily. A woman, it's more difficult for a woman. When every man sees her with this guy, she's not going to get a guy during this period when she is hanging out with someone else. Everybody thinks that, okay, you know, she has someone. When he finds his true lover, you know, after he's tired of making love with her, finds his true lover, she's going to be left out in the cold. No, hold on to your thing, my girl.
The point is the boundaries of sex is the boundaries of marriage. That's really where it is, and we cannot be double standard. We are not double standard, right. And that is what it is. The boundaries of sex is the boundaries of marriage, and sex is to be had with somebody to whom you are 100% committed, and that is usually measured by the state of the law of the land. By the state of the law of the land here, I know it's marriage. And so I'm saying, because of the many ills that comes with sex, sex is not just the joining of two bodies. It's two bodies, souls, and spirit.
Correct.
And so we need to be careful about acting upon feeling. Feeling is a fluctuating emotion. We can all feel like we want to jump off a bridge, or we want to bungee jump, or we want to do whatever. You cannot just act upon a feeling because you feel like doing it. And the truth is, that young lady needs to understand herself and know her own values. Because listen, the only place that people test things before they actually get it is at a car mart. And you're not a car. You understand? You need to understand that.
And you're not a dumping ground either. So just all the releasing that he's doing in you, exactly, and all that kind of stuff. That is, you have become a dumping ground. And so all those spirits and all that stuff he going through, next thing you know, you're going to be acting crazy and running crazy and feeling
exactly
all type.
Exactly, because sex has a spiritual side.
How would you negotiate this? You have two people living together for years and shacking up, I do say, and one gets saved. In this case, the lady gets saved. Now, how does she now negotiate sex? Now you've been saved, this your man, this your woman, 10 years, 15 years. One gets saved. How do you now navigate that?
Just
because you just answer that question.
Right. Just because you've been shacking up with somebody for 10 or however many years, that don't mean that that's your soulmate or that's your husband or that's your wife. Sometimes they just in there for a season. So if you feel like they're not on the same playing field with you and you are not equally yoked with that person, then it's time for you to move forward. And I know there are a lot of emotions and stuff that be tied in it, and I get that. But you gotta, you may love that person, but you have to love yourself more. Self-preservation is first on the list. That is just what it is. And if you, and then negotiation is off the table. Hey, this is where I'm headed with my spirituality. This is what I'm thinking. And if that person is not willing to, and they don't, and I'm gonna tell you right now, don't let them do it for you. Let them do it for themselves. Because anything they do for somebody else is not gonna last anyway.
Based on the question that DJ just asked a while ago, there's a follow up to say that he's the breadwinner. He loves me, and I want to be the I want to be compassionate with him. How do we handle it without him feeling rushed or us breaking up? I know sometimes the church does have a kind of say into people breaking up because of that kind of space. And we can talk about this because we are on the other side. But it's hard to be in a relationship and just easily just break it away. Years. Yeah, it is harder than we just talk about it. So how does this person navigate through that? Yes, Pastor.
Right. So you know, we can address it from a pastoral perspective, right? I have had to journey with many people with various circumstances. I've journeyed with two people who got baptized in a church I pastored, and Carla knows that church in Old Harbor. Two people got baptized, and they came to me and they said, "Pastor, we lived together for years. We have a house together, children together. We want to get married, but there was some problem with some documentation, and they couldn't get married. What do we do?" Another young lady comes. She becomes a believer. She gets baptized. She comes. And she says, "Pastor, I live with a man that's not my husband. We've built a life together. But I was married years ago. I was deserted by my husband. We've been trying for years to find him. Cannot find him. I call them in both and talked with the man. And the man said, "Pastor, I'm ready to marry her last year. But we need to sort this divorce thing out." And so on and so forth. I supported that young lady in church and walked alongside with her and myself and another elder. She said to me, "Pastor, I would have my devotion at night, and I would pray and I would say, 'God, please, when him come home tonight, don't make him want nothing, because you know I don't want to do this thing. I can't live with it.'" Do you know that she called me and said, "Pastor, you won't believe what happened. I got a call, the weirdest call, and it is the man who I was married to. He called me after 10 years of not hearing from him. And we have sorted it out, and he's willing to sign the documentation, whatever needed to happen," which I don't know all the details. And it happened, and she was able to get married. Sometimes we have to journey with people, especially in some context, because people have had kids together, built a family together. And from a pastoral perspective, it's easy to say to the woman, "Leave the man and God will take care of you." But then when she comes after church to say, "Okay, Pastor, I've decided to leave the man. So where am I sleeping tonight?
Where am I sleeping?"
And then I
tonight?
Said to her, "You know, I can't help you, darling. I don't know where you're sleeping tonight." From a pastoral perspective, we sometimes have to journey with people, and sometimes it takes a loving church that will express grace and understand challenges. Just as we walk along with people who have drug problems, people who have other issues, that we have to journey with them and exercise grace. Sometimes we have to, we're not saying we're condoning with anything, but we have to journey, walk alongside some people who have
very realistic
awkward
yes.
situations.
Great. That's a
All right. I have to break you right here. Just a minute. DJ KTE, just a minute. Yes. We want to integrate our life moment guest right in this space. So we have a married couple here joining the table tonight. We have the Stairs. Good night if they're here. I hope they can join us now.
There we go.
Yes, there they are, Mr. and Mrs. Steer. And they will be giving us some insight as well into their nuptials, their marriage, how it has been throughout their journey. Having a wedding in the pandemic, was there any tension going on before they got married? And is there any tension now? There should not be any tension now. Good night, Stairs. How are you? I hope you can hear me.
Guys.
Hey, good night.
There we go. Congrats, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
First of all, congratulations and welcome to marriage life. Right. So,
thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
You're welcome. So first of all, let me ask, what has it been like, you know, the whole journey of getting married in this time? It's pandemic COVID-19. Was it stressful? What was it like for you?
Well, it was a bittersweet situation. This period, we were faced with two challenges, the normal challenge of planning a wedding and coupled with the corona situation. So we were overdosed. I believe that if we were not meant to, we would have broken up before we came to the last few weeks.
Yes.
Because as I heard you mention tension, I don't know if you recognize the expression on our faces. We went through it. But one of the best things that I can say is that we had people in our corner. We had a lot of prayer warriors.
Support.
We had we had a great support system. Awesome. And, you know, that really helped us.
All right. So, you know, tonight we are talking about sexual tension. So, this is a question I'm going to ask you now. So did you both have to deal with that kind of tension in your relationship? You're both in church. You're both Christians. Did that tension increase as the wedding drew closer? Did it bring you closer? Did you pull you apart a little bit? What was that like as being two single people before coming together?
In the heat of COVID, you know, we all shut in together, can't go out.
Had issues. Oh, well, we certainly had issues with regards to the whole, you know, in the midst of planning. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that got us frustrated most of the time was that we had to go over our guest list about 3 times.
Wow.
And yeah.
Look, and our like planning
and all of that. Actually initially planned for the 11th of July. And then with the lockdown and the whole lockdown with the traveling and all of that, my mother-in-law was overseas. And she had issues getting flights and, you know, so that was somewhat of an issue. With regards to sexual tension, you know, there is some amount of excitement.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Forward to that time when, you know, you've been keeping yourself, you've been waiting, and the Lord finally blessed you with this person that you have been praying for so long.
I see the smile.
And then, you know, the COVID just come in and lengthen everything. So there have been tensions, but we have
had some coping mechanisms that we most time utilize. Yes, even, you know, we sometimes we take a breather, yeah, we just go out and hang out. We have different ways in which we chill with each other. So sometimes we go out for dinner, and, you know, sometimes we just take some time to breathe, because even in the midst of planning, sometimes you don't get to focus on each other. We had our little time when we had to slow down a bit and, you know, call back each other.
Awesome. There was a conversation.
We managed well.
Yes, we did.
Awesome.
There was, and the thing about it is that we have been friends for years, so we have a great understanding of each other.
If I may add, for years, as she mentioned, that we have known each other for years, we have been very close for years. One of the things is we both agreed, not just the other day, not just since we started courting, from long, long time, that, you know, we would not, certain boundaries we would not cross.
Okay.
That carried right through until we got married.
That's beautiful.
So, you know, our faith in God, our devotion to His word was a big help, because anyone who knows me, I can't go to my bed if my conscience is not clear. So, you know, that is something that we definitely told ourselves. And I'm not going to go around the corner. There were times when, yes, the excitement was there. We are planning. This is our wedding. We are looking, we are planning to come together. I mean, the excitement was there. Sometimes we look at each other and we had to just remind each other, hey, it's just a few. We were saying to each other, just 3 months. Just 2 months.
Counting the days.
You know, just 2 weeks. It's coming down. So, you know, along with that, we really had to make sure that we stopped to prayer, because we had to stay close to God and His word to help us to go through. Yes.
We're not sure how much of the...
Well, I want to say that's very good. I want to say that is so good. There are couples who were planning and are planning around the world and have not gone through with it, and it is commendable. So we want to congratulate you for taking the time out and going through. I know it's not going to be easy. From one married person to the other, it's not going to be easy, but I do congratulate you, and I wish you all the best
on
your journey. Wish you all the best.
Thank you so much.
We thank you for coming. We thank you for being here with us. We really do.
Yes.
It's our pleasure.
You are welcomed. To our guests, we are winding down. There are some questions that keep coming in.
Oh, they're coming like crazy. Oh,
and we want to, yes, they're coming like crazy tonight, and we do want to address them as best as we can. This is just a comment on the discussion we were having previously, talking about church and Reverend Vernon talking about guiding and journeying with the persons. There is a comment here that says that is why this person cannot go back to church. This man feels rejected because he felt as if the church dealt with him unfairly. His relationship broke up and he did not feel that he was prioritized in the relationship, because she became a Christian and he really needed more time. So that's one of the drawbacks of not going through that guidance that journey.
It happened because most of the times it is the females. Most of the time it is the females who accept the Lord and attend church, because our gospel is very effeminate. That appeals a lot of the times mostly to the females. And they are the ones who go, but just like Wayne says, we have to, he that winneth soul is wise. And so we have to understand that we cannot go the route of mm-hmm. breaking up. The church is God's bride, right? Mm-hmm. It's Christ's bride.
Right.
Family and marriage is so important to God. How it is that mm-hmm. the very entity that God has put in place to keep people together pulls people apart without even
pull
thinking.
People apart.
There are dynamics that we need yes. to understand. And, you know, a lot of our pastors before, and most of that, I don't think they didn't have a certain level of training. They weren't training, understanding the dynamics in relationship and that kind of a thing. Based on faith and grace and salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Training, that's it. So I'm not going to buffet them because of that, because I think that is where they were at mm-hmm. to do some of the things.
Okay.
When we have it happening still in these times, when information is available, when greater light has been shed, when we our understanding has been enlightened, then it is really, really sad when we have that kind of a thing happening in this day and age. And mm. so we really need to have a reconciliation forum, I believe,
yes.
where the church can also acknowledge its error, because we are not infallible. You know, we are not Jesus Christ. We are representing him. And mm-hmm. we err,
yes.
you know, on the side of caution a lot of the times. But we need to be able to acknowledge that. My position is, when a female comes to my church, or a male, whatever, and they accept the Lord, I adopt the partner. That's what I do. Mm-hmm. I just adopt the partner wherever they are. I adopt them. Mm-hmm. And I start to, I make greater friends with them, you know, in terms of, I make them the friend of the church. I adopt them. I use them to tell me, how is so-and-so doing at home? I journey with them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Wayne says, I adopt them. I don't allow them to feel left out. And I never usually... If I know that a couple lives together, a woman lives with a man, and she comes and she accepts the Lord, gets saved, I never baptize her without first talking to the gentleman. I think it's respectful for me to go to him,
and
help him to understand what she is doing, so that he doesn't fight against it necessarily, and for him to see how he can come on board and still be respected as the man.
Yes,
so we have to journey with them.
Important.
Yeah,
we
cannot disrespect the male in the relationship.
No.
Because if we disrespect the male, we're not going to, we're sometimes the woman might even go back. I was close to a particular lady some time ago when we were back in Jamaica. She was our helper, and we were close to her partner who they were together for years without being married, many, many years, yes. over 20, maybe 30. And I gave her a message to give him, to say to him, I'm going to send the documents to him. And all I want mm-hmm. him to do is to sign them and send them back to me without a wedding ceremony, because he's with this woman too long and has not gotten married to her. He said back to me to say, Pastor, don't do me that. I am going to tell the lady to set the date, Pastor, and I want you to do the wedding for me. So, you know, when we're able to relate to them, you know, yes. I have had to call in a man and said, look, you know that the lady has given her life to the Lord. What are your thoughts? Not rushing you into marriage, but talk to me without the woman present. And he was able to talk with me and share things with
me. That's great. That's
really
good.
That was his concern. And I was able to call her in, sit her down and talk with her. And they did eventually get married over time. But I don't encourage people to get married because they are pregnant. I don't encourage people to get married because one person gets saved and needs to be baptized next week.
Nope.
So they have to be married this week. You know, I'm very leery of it and very careful mm-hmm. because it does come back to bite us sometimes. And it sometimes is a bigger challenge and problem.
The poor witness,
you know, when you have to walk them through all of this, because not because they're living together for this time, like Dr. McGee says, that they are meant to be one. And some people have got to be counseled out of some relationships.
True.
It's the reality, you know, but because some people are in abusive relationship, they are in relationships that are unequally yoked, all kinds of things out there. But we cannot afford to disrespect the man. Sometimes when we show him respect and love and stuff like that,
he is already one. He's already won. When he feels respected, he's already won.
Of course.
Yes.
When people are in their single season and it apparent this guy is now single, that you got to pray that the Lord will send you and guide and lead you. And remember, your single season is just that. It is a season. You will not always be in that season. You will not always feel like that. You won't always be faced with that situation. So you got to understand that it's temporal. But in that temporary space, you are to be seeking God so that you are ready for the woman that he puts in front of you or that you find. And the women, the same thing, that you are ready to be a wife and that you are a wife when that man finds you. And I just want to say to that brother that is struggling, brother, it won't always be like this. And I pray for peace and comfort in your time of rejection or how you were dealt with, because the church has to do a better job with doing that. And I concur mm-hmm. with both the pastor and Dr. Carla to talk about the journey with that person as they go through. But I also want to say that, again, even before you get, if you can, before you get into a relationship with someone, really, really, really try to build a friendship. And in that friendship, you're going to know if that person has a relationship with Christ. You guys should talk about those things. And a lot of times when we in these relationships and we get these titles, or I'm a fiance, or I'm a girlfriend, or I'm a wife, then you automatically put on these masks and these covers to be these people. When you're just friends with somebody, then your guard is totally let down. That means you can be who you are. You can talk about your fears. You can talk about all of that. And then you can grow to love that person. Mm-hmm. You can grow to massage them to the church if they want to know. And a lot of times, when you are expressing things like that and you're praying for that person that's in your space, you think they're not going to come to Christ? At some point, that heart going to start to constrict. That heart going to soften. And that desire that you want for them will become their desire. So you really gotta be with them, even in that friend zone. Sometimes you just need to be a friend to somebody and not a girlfriend, not a fiance, not a boyfriend, not a wife. Maybe that's not your role. That's not your position in their life at that time. And you gotta understand that too. That's very important.
We are out of time.
Yes.
What a good
that's
way
a great
to,
way to end.
End.
Oh yes. Love it. And folks, you listen to Let's Talk Relationships on Yumi Radio. Guys, don't forget to get the app out there. You great viewers, go to your app store, your Play Store, and just type in one word, the letter U-M-E Radio. Get the app, and it's one entrance to all that we do, the vision of which one empower people across the globe.
Yes, Dr. Dunbar, before you go, can you please give us some information about your academy and website so that people can find you?
Okay, the Grow Your Marriage Academy is called the gym. It's a Grow Your Marriage Academy at teachables.com. That's where they go to find it, at teachables.com, Grow Your Marriage Academy at teachables.com. Currently, I am teaching a 6-week course called the MRI, the Marriage Readiness Intelligence. It's just what Dr. McGee has been talking about for persons to understand themselves before making an uninformed decision to be married because they feel pressured before because their hormones are raging. People need to make informed decisions. So we're currently doing that, but we have other courses like the marriage maintenance, sexual proficiency, understanding how to talk to your husband, relating, etc. So different courses that are meant to enhance marriages, help courting couples, help dating couples to just make better decisions and to treat each other differently. So it's the Growing Marriage Academy at teachables.com. If you come to my Facebook page or my YouTube page, it's Carla Dunbar Ministries. That's all it is, Carla Dunbar Ministries, Facebook and YouTube, Carla Dunbar Ministries, and you can get information on that. And if you want to WhatsApp me, it's 876-782-7646. That's 876-782-7646. I know that God has prepared a place where you can learn more about marriages so you can grow and learn and not just fall into it because somebody coerces you into it.
Thank you. And Dr. McGee, where can we find you?
Oh, drramicia.org, where is my website, and it is my philanthropy, and it is in an effort to help young women who are rehabilitating from Youth Correctional Center here in Oregon. So
please head on over and find out more about that. It is dramecia.org, and it is the Second Chance Scholarship Opportunity Award.
Any numbers you can call? Any numbers? Or?
Yep, 312-315-8191.
Say it again, please.
312-315-8191.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Pastor? We love you, sir. Want to hear what you we can want to get to get to connect with you. How can we get the fastest?
Okay, West Toronto Church of God. If you go to our website, you know, Facebook, YouTube, we're always there, and you'll find us. There's a daily podcast that we do that I do called the Noonday Meditation,
nice. Which
you can find on YouTube. It is all over. So Google Play, TuneIn, that kind of things. But if you really just can't find me, West Toronto Church of God, if you go to our website, westtorontochurchofgod.org, then you're going to find me.
Thank all you right. so
oh, bless
much.
God. It was nice talking again. Nice connecting with you, Wayne, again.
Nice connecting after so long.
Yes.
And you shared a number, so you can expect a call.
Certainly.
You guys were awesome, okay. awesome guests. I tell you, this was a great, great show. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dr. McGee.
Nice meeting you, Dr. McGee. Really good conversation.
Let's talk.
Indeed.
Relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.